Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
It's about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Carl and the Bot, and we're back. Phone lines here, 221-1402. Look, if you're hearing us on 1400, you can also listen to us on 1670. 10,000 watts, which we heard all the way up almost. Well, we did, past Weaverville.
We were close to Trinity Center. We'll tell you about our trip in a minute. Yeah. But we want to thank Ray Roberts while he was on, and I understand he created kind of a stir. He got passionate.
Yeah, speaking of passion, here's our producer.
When
Frosty.
Doesn't Ray cause a stir?
Well, you know, it just so happened we were listening to that, you know, that portion of the show where he got into a rolling around the ground, sticking each other thumbs in the eye.
That was interesting.
It was. But speaking of interesting, is my bride, Linda.
Oh, well, good morning. It's great to be back in the the studio. We were backpacking. No, I keep saying backpacking, but we weren't backpacking because that means a pack's on your back. Well, the pack was on the mule, and we were on the mule's back. So we had how many horses, how many mules?
Three horses, four mules. There were three of you riding horses. I was riding the mule, and we were we had three mules loaded with our gear that we took up to the basin. Up there.
Well, we went with Dick Morris and Andy Green, and then Carl and I. So there I was with three horsemen, gentlemen. And I it was a tremendous time. People, you know, I mean, I said this is not for sissies, because we actually, when we, I watched you guys pack the mules, because there's a science behind packing mules.
People don't realize it. You see it that, I mean, you're literally weighing every pack down to the pound. And you're shifting because you've got them on the sides of the mules. And we were going up some pretty steep terrain with some, you know, if there'd been a misstep there, it'd been like 300 or 400 feet straight down. So.
And I don't know what the grade would be, but the grade's up and grade's down and crossing creeks and in rocks. And I thought it was somewhat treacherous. But it was exciting. But we got to camp, I think it was almost an hour and a half, maybe 2 hour ride.
Over 2 hours.
We stayed at a camp called, Scott Cow Camp, which is in the Bear Basin, and we camped there for 3 nights and then took a day ride, which was also beautiful, and went up in the mountains and found a bomber.
Yeah, it was a B-25 Liberator from World War II. It looked like, I think, it was being ferried from someplace Southern California up to San Francisco or someplace, and they hit the side of the mountain there. And they've taken out a lot of the parts of it, but they've left both engines as part of a historical. Almost like a monument.
Great story there. Part of the family, they never found these guys.
Right.
And while they were across the mountains in the Alps, somebody saw a shiny object, and it happened to be one of the family members. Isn't that true?
One of the family members of the Morris family saw it.
And
they were able then to recover the bodies. But I can't say enough about Dick Morris. What a true gentleman he is. What a accomplished horseman he is, but also the fact that he and his family have been founding members of Weaverville, and Jeff Morse is a member of that family that ran against Wally Herger this last time, and Jeff's a great guy too. You know, every one of the Morse people I've met of the family are just superb.
And Judy's supervisor up there.
Judy's supervisor, and of course Sandy, Dick's wife.
Yeah,
what a nice lady. Okay. Today, we're going to be doing the Reading Police. We have as our guest Reading Police Department. We're going to be talking about these cuts and some of the impacts on that. We come back, though. We've got another place that we stopped by we want to talk about before we get to our police officers. And the results of the cuts that you see that may be coming from the city council. Carl Lebot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Yeah, bad boys back in town. Hey, don't say anything. Hey, Kelly, watch out, Frosty. He'll tase you.
Yesterday,
yes,
we had the great pleasure of driving to Seven Hills Land and Cattle Company off of Highway 44 towards Shingletown.
Yeah, and
we visited the winery. that we absolutely want everybody to know about.
Yeah, the El Samo, and I'm probably because I can't read my own writing here, is the Seven Hills Land and Cattle Company.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I know. Is owned by Revenge and Chicken El Samo.
Reverge.
Right, Reverge. I'm sorry, Reverge.
RS.
I know. Hey, it's early.
And when we drank a lot of wine and champagne, but we were sober when we drove home.
We were.
It was a long day.
One thing we want to say is, if you've got a chance to go up there and visit them, you need to do that. This entire operation is first class. And, you know, the wine's great, and their chef, John Stadelli.
Hey, John. Shout
is
out.
Is magnificent. And we can't say enough about this. You know, it's a great place to visit and to have dinner. Now, they're open on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 11 to 8 Friday and Saturday, and 11 to 6 on Sunday. They serve food from 12 to 5. Now, we're just saying this because, I mean, they're not sponsors, obviously, but as we do, we talk about places that are really cool to go to. It's a beautiful place. It's been there. They moved here like 4 years ago. Reverge and Chicken have been in the movie industry and in a variety of other jobs.
They're into horses.
Into horses and
mules.
Cattle out there, but
cattle. Cheap.
A great place to go if you're looking for a place to go on a Friday, Saturday. Take the time. Take the 15 or 20 minutes to go up there. I mean, they are absolutely. Yeah, or Sunday. It's a great place. They're great people. And also, just an aside here, we met another couple there, Trevor and Paige, who are from Hollywood. And he's done a couple of big pictures there. And I just want to assure everybody that Hollywood is not populated entirely by left-wing nuts. That there are people there that are, their feet are on the ground, are a lot like us. When I should say a lot like us, you know, that they are, they're good people. Very good people. So, you know, that kind of made me feel better about it.
Might be a great place to go take a Harley ride or anything like that. Was fun. You guys know what we're talking? Have you been there? Our guests. We're asking maybe if they've been there before.
Right.
But
and our guest today
is Officer Brad LaCroix, who's president of Reading Officers Association. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning.
Peace Officers Association.
Yes. And Mike Stufflebeam, who is also, you're in uniform, Stufflebeam. Tell us about yourself.
I'm a police officer with the City of Reading, and I've worked here for 23 years, and I'm also on the Reading Peace Officer Association board.
Great.
Well, you know, I always feel in awe of these guys, really, because when the chips are down, we need you guys. And sometimes you get a bad rap, the fuzz, the cops. But thank God, you know, so you kind of always wonder when you start going back into one's history how you got involved with becoming an officer. Brad? Good morning.
Good morning.
What's your backstory?
My backstory is I've been up here since 2002. I came up from Southern California and wanted to move to a better place to live and raise my family. And right here in Reading is where we're doing it.
Right. Love
great. Mike, how long have you been on the force?
I've been on the Reading Police Department for 23 years. And prior to that, I worked for the Los Angeles Police Department for 5.5 years.
Oh, really? How'd you like that? Is there a little bit of a difference between the Reading and the L.A. Police Department?
Everything's bigger in Los Angeles, but there's also a lot more officers to handle it.
A little bit more crime out there?
Yes.
Well,
one of the main reasons that we encouraged you guys to come into the station and share with our listeners was the cutbacks that we're having. And I know you had some specific questions.
Yeah, you know, of course, you can't help but see where the city's in trouble. And so they're losing literally millions of dollars. So they're having to make cuts, and they've made cuts last year and then this year, and it's costing police officers, it's costing the community service officers. Brad, what's this next range of cuts? Where do you think what's going on with this one?
Well, if I can go back a little bit,
to date,
the police department's lost about 23 police positions. Of that 23, 9 of those were sworn officers positions. The community isn't going to see that as much because it's positions that were either vacant or not filled because of grants expiring. One of the things that had to be closed down was the neighborhood police unit. That's 4 officers that worked on specific problems to specific areas. For example, the Parkview neighborhood, we're very involved in there. So having that background, we're now at to the point where if we lose more people, we're going to actually lose personnel. And I've heard that range from anywhere from the CSOs to a few officers up to 9 or potentially more than that. the effect that that's going to have on the police department is there are certain divisions within our department that are mandated by law that we have to have, such as missing persons, a court officer position. Okay, if the CSO's positions are terminated, that's going to pull an officer off the street. That's going to reduce the number of people who are going to be out there on the streets able to react to priority calls for service within the city of Reading. So we don't know where that number's at yet. We were at the city council meeting on Tuesday night. I understand the departments had to submit a 10% reduction. We're hoping it doesn't go to 10%. So the worst case scenario at this point would be 9 officers and 5 CSOs, give or take. It just depends on where that number's at.
Okay. Look, we're going to have to take a quick break here. This is Carl Lindabot on Free Fire Radio News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. Yeah, it's Monday. And with us today, we have two special guests, Brad LaCroix, who's president of the Reading Peace Officer Association, and Mike Stuffelbeam. Good morning, gentlemen, once again. If you're just tuning in, 221-1402 are the lines to be calling for questions.
That's right. You know, we're discussing the cuts in the police department. Okay, we've gone back and we've talked about the cut of the CSOs. Let's talk about direct results. If we lose, 9 officers, I think that you said that was one of the numbers they threw out.
Correct.
Okay. So does that mean all the CSOs are gone?
I don't have a definitive answer on that. I've heard the number of 5 because there's still critical positions like the missing persons and court officer and traffic and stuff like that.
Well, I know the CSO was one that that helped us out when we were sideswiped by a crazy person in a champagne-colored SUV.
Hit and run.
And if you know anybody that's got black paint on their champagne-colored SUV, please call the station here. But the loss of, say, 9 officers, what direct impact does that have?
Well, one thing they did a couple months ago, we were looking at the stats, and you have the CSOs that are assigned to patrol, and they take up a lot of the traffic collisions, such as hit and runs, a lot of the lower priority calls. They did the statistics show that it was about 45% of the reports were taken by the CSOs just assigned to patrol. If you eliminate those positions and the officers start picking up the slack, so to speak, that's going to have a direct result on the time it takes for an officer to get to an emergency call, such as an armed robbery at Safeway at 1 o'clock in the morning, or a subject with a gun in front of the Yuba post office.
Now, but if they got that report, don't they just stop what they're doing with a little traffic mishap?
On lower priority, yes. Yeah. There's certain things like domestic violence. If you're in the middle of investigating a crime like that where one spouse is beating up the other, whether it's man on woman or woman versus man, there's certain things that they need to do to make sure that they're cared for, they're medically looked after, and a report has to be taken.
Now, does the CSO do that, or it's got to be a uniformed policeman?
No, the department has prioritized calls. I believe it's 1 through 9, and there's certain calls that CSOs can handle, and then there's the higher priority ones are handled by officers.
Okay. So we lose that. So you're saying so 41% are handled by the CSOs?
It was about that in May.
Okay, in May. With the loss of another five positions and from that and others. So the direct impact, again, is more time that it takes to get and to roll on a call.
Well, what that's going to result in is going to become a reactive police department, such as other ones in the North State.
Let's talk about that.
Okay. Reactive police department is one that they don't have that opportunity to go out there and look for the gangsters that are tagging graffiti on your walls or breaking into the businesses in the middle of the night, such as the medical offices or lawyer offices that have been getting hit.
And by the way, we've heard about that lately, the medical officers being hit.
So we have officers being tied up on these other, for lack of a better term, a lower priority call. They're going to be tied up on that. They're not going to have that free time to go out there and patrol the neighborhoods in the middle of the night, early mornings, to be able to look for people who are out of place. If you drive into a business district somewhere, anywhere after, 10 or 11 at night till early in the morning, there's a good chance there's probably not supposed to be there. And the officer has every right to contact and inquire as to why they're in the area.
Okay, so when we go to, and so then everything is you react to a call as opposed to being going out and try to stop it before it happens. I've ridden with the police here in town before and had the opportunity. And if you're riding a bicycle at night, without a light on, you can almost count on being pulled over and stopped and asked.
That's correct.
Because that seems to be one of the ways that drugs are being moved through the city.
Did you just give away a secret?
No. I mean, they happen. They just do it. So we've got about a minute left here. Let's go to the phone here. Roberta.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Roberta.
I'm just calling about one of my pet peeves over the years. And it's not only Reading Police Department, Highway Patrol, City of Anderson, is when they sit and do speed traps and sit in the shade and sit at the bottom of a hill, revenuing the law-abiding citizens when they're not out chasing criminals. That really bugs me.
That's a good point, Roberta.
Well,
thanks for your phone call.
Bye.
Sorry. Speed traps are illegal in California.
I tell you what, we've got to take a quick break here, but we want to come back and talk about that because if we've got, you know, what she's saying is a shortage of policemen. They're sitting there on the bridge with their radar gun. Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. We'll get to your phone calls as soon as we get back. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. I hope we didn't hear everything that was being said right here right before I came on. Okay, good. 221-1402. Judy, good morning.
Good morning. I have been following this story, and I appreciate very much what our city officers do for us. I just have one question. I always wonder, I'm amazed at why during the process of talking about something like this, it seems like they almost give a game plan to the criminals about what's going to be going on and what's not going to be going on, to where they go, oh, well, cool, I'll just wait for this to happen and then I'll do that. I don't understand that mentality. I'll take my answer on the air. Thank you.
Oh, okay, Judy. The question is, you know, telling them what's going on. So I think what she meant is, with the police not going to be there, that you're not going to be proactive. And a lot of the proactive things you do is stopping and out there. So now you're just going to be reactive, which tells the criminals, hey, we got more time to do things.
Well, I can understand that. Part of the reason is we have their community that needs to know what their police department's doing. And they have the right to know that the layoffs are going to result in the service that's provided by the police department is going to have a direct result on the quality of life in Reading. For 20 years now, they've had a very proactive police department that's been able to nip problems as soon as they start using the gang problem. For example, I believe it was the late 80s, early 90s. You have a community cleanup program that it's very active in going around and getting rid of graffiti, which prevents problems between possible gangs or tagging groups.
Is there a big problem with gangs here? I mean, I think pretty much, Mike, that Reading really went after them.
Yeah, in the early 90s, our gang problem got up to the point where we were having drive-by shootings were fairly common. One year we had, I believe, 12 drive-by shootings and one drive-by murder by gang members in Reading in the early, mid-90s.
In Reading?
Yes, in Reading.
Wow.
The killing was on Hilltop. And just over a color of a rag that a person had hanging out of their pocket, just like you'd expect in some of the higher crime cities.
Yeah, Bloods.
And it was Asian gangs were the problem back at that particular time. We were able at that time, the management of the police department, to form a three-man gang unit and support to that, to where all we did was work gangs, work with the probation, was able to get vertical prosecution on these gang members, and sent a lot of them away, and actually the it dwindled down from that high slowly down to the point where it is now where, I mean, we still have gang activity in town, but you know it's not to the point where you're afraid to walk down the street or it's not as common as it used to be. I don't remember the last time I heard of a drive-by gang shooting in Reading.
Yeah.
Well, not since now, we've been here.
No, one of the things we want to talk about is, you know, the city's in trouble with money. I mean, everybody knows that. We need to talk about there's got to be cuts. We'd like to hear what you all think about where these cuts ought to come from. But first, we need to get to the phones. David, good morning.
Good morning. I just kind of wanted to rebut a little bit your caller, Roberta, about, you know, police officers waiting to, you know, pull over law-abiding citizens. If you're a law-abiding citizen, you're not speeding. You don't have anything to worry about. But, you know, there's a real issue with people that drive too fast in residential areas and around schools. And, you know, that's part of the local gendarmerie's job is to, you know, kind of get people to, you're not going to slow down, you're going to get a ticket.
Mike?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I worked traffic in this community for 5 years and saw the aftermath, a lot of fatal accidents, a lot of injuries. More people are hurt or killed by traffic collisions in Reading by murders or shootings or anything else. More properties lost, more damage. I've never personally worked a speed trap. That's not legal in California. Most of the places we're working are because of problems in that area. Generally, personally, I never pulled people over unless they were doing 15 above the speed limit. That's not a set or hard rule, but if you're doing 50 in a 35 or 40 through a school zone, you deserve a ticket.
Yeah.
And I'm going to mention a school zone that I know about that I think, you know, and I drive through it, and maybe I shouldn't even say about it because I'll probably get in trouble. But anyway, okay, thanks a lot for your phone call, David.
All right, thank you very much.
You bet.
We have a comment by Officer LaCroix over here about cars.
Yeah, I was just saying, you're talking about the enforcing traffic laws. Cars kill more people in this town than people kill people in this town. So that's a main priority of the police department is traffic enforcement. If you slow people down, the damage is going to be less. The injuries are not going to be as severe.
Yeah. Well, that's what we were talking about before Chief Modia, now our new chief, is that, you know, again, like you two just reiterated, was that's where most of our injuries come from. This is why the camera lights, which I'm not in favor of, and this is what, you know, but it's to slow people down because that is where our main loss of life is. Rob, this is KQMS. You're on.
Hello.
You're on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I just wanted to comment, although I realize that, cut down in police force is going to affect this advertisement I've been hearing about on the radio lately where the young girl is at home alone and somebody's breaking into the door. To me, that's a scare tactic because it wouldn't matter if the police were able to arrive in 10 minutes or in a half an hour. The scenario that they put forth on the radio there, it's already too late. So I think that's disingenuous, and I don't think that scare tactic should be used. I think we should stick to the facts.
That's a good point, Rob. Your comment on that.
That's a fair point. One of the purposes of getting a media campaign out there is to get people's attention. And if we put out there that just cold, boring facts, we may not get people to listen to the...
So what you're doing is you're tugging on emotions right there.
We're doing what we need to do to people understand that there's a huge change going to take place with the police department if these cuts go through.
Well, I think that... And as we talked about this earlier, what I'd like to hear at the end of the commercial, there's somebody breaking into my door, and then the sound of a 12-gauge being racked, and then four shots being happened. And they said, oh, okay, you don't have to come out right away. Send an ambulance.
Well, that'll help gun sales in Reading, I suppose.
Well, you don't have to worry about gun sales after the last election. I think they're through the roof.
Good point. Number one salesman.
Gary, you're on. This is KQMS.
Good morning. Hi, Linda and gentlemen. Thank you very much for your service to our country and to Reading. I would like to pose from the leadership that is City Hall, which we do not have, that Starman reduce his salary to about 115 grand, and his two assistants, who probably don't do much, reduce their salaries to 100. That ought to... at least save one policeman or maybe a policeman and a half or something. So that's my point on this possible solution. I'll take your comments on the air. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gary. Well, this is going to be hard for them to comment on. So what do you think? You think Kurt Starman always associates should take a 20% cut so we can keep police?
You know, I didn't get this far in life being stupid, so I'm going to go with that's my boss.
That's above your pay grade.
That.
Is that above your pay grade? That's a good
above
answer.
Above my pay grade.
That's right. You know, the president can even say that. There's been a number of things said about the amount of money. And this is slightly off the subject, but when you have government, and I'm not picking on Kurt Starman or anybody else that's in it, not specifically, but when you have government jobs that pay that much better than the average wages of the people that are paying their wages, there's something wrong when people want to work for government because they can make twice as much money as they can out in town. Carl and DeBod, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400, KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400, KQMS. And let's go to Gene. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. And I have a question for the officers about prioritizing the calls when citizens call in, like on a scale of 1 to, I guess you said 9. What would discharging a firearm within the city limits be? Would that be a 1 or a 9?
It would depend upon the circumstances. If it's New Year's Eve and they're going off all over town, it might be a lower priority. If it's out in a wooded area during hunting season or something like that, it would be a lower priority. It just depends upon it. If it's in a neighborhood, in a house or something like that, or anywhere nearby, it would be a high priority. It just depends on the circumstances as to what they make it.
Well, the exact circumstances, it's a wooded area within the city limits with homes all around it, and it took 3 calls to the police department about, I guess I'd say 30 minutes, 45 minutes for an officer to finally respond.
When was this, Gene?
This was about, I guess about 3 months ago.
And so were you, was it a neighbor or were you there? Were you worried that, there's gunfire, somebody could be in danger, or is this?
Well, I figured, the way the shooting was, somebody was target shooting, but there's homes all around, and if one shot goes astray, who knows where it's going to go, and it was a large caliber pistol.
Well, not knowing what was going on that time of the day, and going back 3 months, I'd have to look it up in the computer to see what the calls for service were for. If there were higher priority calls, that would explain the 30 to 40 minute wait, which if that's during the day, isn't all that uncommon. Unfortunately, without knowing what was going on that day,
it wasn't New Year's or any holiday or anything like that. It's just wasn't 4th of July.
Sometimes it's just kind of the luck of the draw on that one. If there could have been like 6 things happening right at the same time. But thanks for your phone call, Gene.
Thank you,
Gene. Well, I think this drives home the point we have today is about the cutbacks. And if we have 9 officers that are going to possibly be leaving the force here in Reading, just think about a call, somebody in fear of hearing in their neighborhoods, a pistol going off. It could have been domestic violence. It could have been somebody shooting the dog. Who knows what it is? But the fact is that 45 minutes could turn into a pretty long time.
Yes, it could.
Well, 10 minutes is a long time. Hey, Bill, good morning. You're on Free Fire Radio.
Carl.
Hey.
Morning. Yeah, I was calling about the area pertaining to bicycle riders, and I'm calling about the area between Lake Boulevard and Keswick Dam Boulevard on Quartz Hill itself. It's a skinny two-lane curvy road that's raised about 4 inches off the ground, no shoulders, no nothing. And it's become the last 2 or 3 years that the bicycle riders are more and more riding that road. The visibility's really poor. It's not going to be long before somebody gets hit on there. I don't believe they should be on there at all. It's far too skinny, no bike trail, no shoulder, no nothing. And then the first thing they do when they get to Lake Boulevard is they pedal right through the boulevard, stop, they never stop. They go on these left turn lanes for the cars, and when I was a kid, you walked your bike across the street, but when are they going to start getting on these bicycle riders to stop abusing the privileges they have to drive on the road?
Yeah. Hey, Bill, that's a good question. What's your answer on that one?
Quartz Hill is a narrow road. Bicycles, by vehicle code, have the right to be on the road, just like a car does. They share the lane. I realize it's tight there, but if they have the lane already, you have to yield to them because they're in front of you. As far as the stop sign at the top, bicycles are required to follow the vehicle code, including stopping at stop signs. They're sighted on occasion. However, as with much traffic enforcement, we do it when we can in between calls, and so that's what we do.
So what you're saying is if you're there, you've got nothing else that's on your plate right then, you'll pull them over.
That's correct.
Okay, so you treat them just like you would any other offense. It's not just because they're a bicycle they're getting a free ride.
No, they're subject to the vehicle code like anybody else.
Okay. Greg?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
Are you going to need more ride-alongs now if everything, collapses on you here? Or is there going to be a big demand for us? Or are we a bigger burden? Or what? Is there going to be any?
Well, the ride-alongs, are because You've got less officers on the road. Is it going to, you know, is a ride along going to be a problem? I think is what Greg's saying.
Yeah, that and are you going to name it evening time? Are you going to name it daytime? Are you going to request them or do you need us?
Well, any citizen in Reading can sign up to go on a ride along. There's a process they can go through by calling down to the police department, filling out a, I believe it's a one page form requesting it, and then someone should contact you as far as what time and day you want to ride, and then they set it up.
Do get to carry shotguns, though, right?
No.
Okay, we got to take a quick break here. It's Carl and the Bot on Free Fire Radio News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott here. Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. You know, the phone lines are lit up right now. Our officer, Mike Stuffelbeam had to get back on the road. He's patrolling. And with us still is Brad LaCroix. Boy, should we go to the phones or ask Brad?
Brad, what's your last big thought you want to leave with the people here before we go to the phones?
Well, I just want the community of Reading that's supported us for many years to understand that with a changing budget and with the tough decisions that the city council has to make, it's going to have an effect on the services that we're able to provide. And I just want people to understand that, you know, we've enjoyed a quality of life for, you know, like Mike said, for 20 years when they started getting rid of the gang problem to what we enjoy now. And I'm just scared that we're going to have to go back to being a reactive agency.
Okay, Ben. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to say I both appreciate and respect the law enforcement that we have and the officers in Reading. I have this question. A few calls back, a person commented that maybe City Hall could some of those people take like a 10%
yes.
drop in wages.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that, talking about that, to be able to save so much money.
Right. Is there? Now, I don't know if there's any truth in it, but I'm wondering, would the officers also, in order to keep more, take a percentage in cut in their wages?
Pay.
And the reason I'm asking is my husband was told by someone from City Hall that the officers, the union was asked to take, what was it, something like 0.5% of something, and they refused. So years ago I had a broker ask me when times were tough in Spokane and real estate, and he said, which would you rather have, Karen, 50% of something or 100% of nothing?
Yeah. So
my question is, would they accept, you know, as a temporary measure until the economy rebounded.
Right. Less money if it would save the police. Okay.
Well, I can comment on that. In May, maybe we need to do a better job of promoting ourselves, but between the Reading Peace Officers Association and the Reading Police Managers Association, that's the sergeants, lieutenants, and captains, between the two of us, we did make concessions. I believe it was right in the neighborhood of about $450,000 savings to the general fund.
Now, this is out of pay, raises, or what?
It's a little more than that, but it has to do with converting paid towards paying medical cost.
Okay. And so that saved $450,000, and that saved a couple of officers, right?
At the time, that was to save, I believe it was 8 CSO positions.
Okay. Roadrunner, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda. And
good morning,
Brad. Nice topic.
Morning.
Hey, I'd like to say that I've heard a number of different times from different jurisdictions and cities and so on that the primary job of the police department is not to protect us, but to uphold the law. Would you say that's correct, Brad?
Well, our primary function is to uphold the law. We'd like to believe that we're out there to protect citizens as well. Our officers, including myself, all live in the area, and we want to live in a good community.
I agree. And if you uphold the law, then that will help to continue to make those communities safe. But if we all, as private citizens, expect the police department to get to our house in time to save us from a break-in or a robbery or a rape on the street or a robbery on the street, then I think we're fooling ourselves. We need to all be self-sufficient as much as possible. So within your home, you need to have a plan, develop as many scenarios as you can and what you would do in those scenarios, and try to be as self-sufficient as possible so that you can hold out, if you will, until the police department can arrive. You guys do the best you can, and I really hope you don't lose your force, but we can't expect you to be there, you know, in a second.
I can agree with you more.
In fact, on the break, Brad mentioned, he said, hey, you know, it's our right to own weapons, and he thinks everybody should have a weapon in the house. And somebody says, why do you carry a gun? It's a lot lighter than a 180-pound policeman.
Legally. And you know what? Thanks for bringing home the idea of having that plan. Each person in within their home should have a plan. Right.
Okay, you know, we've got like a minute left, and we've got so many people on the phones. So we're not going to be able to get to you. I'm sorry, Sylvia. I'm sorry, Jim. We'd like to do is thank Brad LaCroix for coming on today, and Mike Stufflebean. We didn't get to, you know, the questions are is that we're in trouble right now. Or the state, you know, the fact is we're in trouble in our city. It's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better this year. I can't see that happening. So there's got to be cuts. But we got to think we need to take a good look at the cuts. But everybody's got to take a look. Everybody, you know, needs to share in this hurt here. And I'm not saying is that, you know, the police aren't or other people are or whatever. I just think everybody needs to take a look at we need to do something. We need to keep our first responders. Brad, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
And this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? If you get hot, then you must get cool, bad boy.